When people want to forecast for the weather, they turn to the National Weather Service. What about forecasting disease? There are a lot of models and data out there, but they're confusing and often don't talk to one another. So the CDC wants to create better models and aggregate the ones we have now, with a new $200 million Center for Forecasting and Outbreak Analytics. Dr. Mark Lipsitch is science director there, and he joins us. And Dr. Lipsitch, as we try to process the news that 800,000 Americans have passed from COVID-19, how will your center hope to use data to try to get ahead of future waves?
Well, that is the great question. And we have been trying to set up the center as the pandemic looked like it might be winding down. And now as we see Omicron coming, we've begun to try to be useful in the present. What we want to do in the long run on a smaller scale now is to take the vast amount of data that we have to add to that by designing ways to improve the flow and quality of data, and then to use what are known as transmission dynamic models and forecasting tools to understand what may lie ahead and to help decision makers target interventions so that they are as effective as possible while minimizing the disruption that they cause.
And what are some of the key data tools that you and your colleagues will be using? Will it be hospital data or data on where people are traveling, fitness trackers? What are the key sources of data that you're going to put together?
I think one thing we've learned from SARS-1 in 2003 and then pandemic flu in 2009 and SARS-2 now is that the kinds of data you need in each outbreak are not the same. So the first thing is to have a diversity of data sources. And particularly in the United States, where we don't have a centralized healthcare system, that diversity of data sources is really essential. So hospitalizations are almost always important. Non-traditional sources of data, such as mobility or prescriptions or even non-prescription drug sales, all of those things have a role. But as we've seen in this pandemic, there is also the importance of case counting. But I think one of the things that is less obvious from the outside, but has become really clear during this pandemic, is that smaller amounts of data from very well-studied populations are more valuable in some ways than larger amounts of data that you don't know as much about the people. Other countries such as Israel and the United Kingdom that have more centralized healthcare systems, their whole population in a way fits that description.
Mm-hmm. As I was reading up on this, I came across what I guess is an old saying in your field: if you've seen one pandemic, you've seen one pandemic. So how can you be, I guess, dynamic, knowing that historic data patterns can only tell you so much?
That is the role of a well-trained public health workforce. One of the things, if you look inside the response at CDC, the whole agency is mobilized for COVID. They come from foodborne disease background. They come from an injury background. They come from a school health background. They come from non-communicable disease backgrounds, just to name a few. And each of those have experience that's relevant to understanding the spider-like impact of this pandemic. It has legs in all parts of our lives, unfortunately. But we also have to have systems that can tell us as quickly as possible what are the characteristics of the new agent that we're facing.
One of the biggest challenges that I understand modelers face is one that no amount of science control, and that is human behavior. People might travel, they might decide to wear masks or no, they might get their vaccines, they might forego them. That's a giant variable here.
That is. It's important to be clear that that is the fundamental limit to forecasting in the narrow sense of saying, I believe with 80% probability that there will be this range of number of cases in the next week, because anything that depends on future transmissions is dependent on human behavior that we can't be certain about. That is why forecasts, in the sense that we do weather forecasting, have an inherent limit to how long they can go. What we need to be better at is investing in improving the science so that it can get to the limits of what we can do based on what we do know about behavior, and also incorporate the possibilities of behavior change and even anticipating how that might happen in response to spread. That's the limitation. It's also why we have another kind of activity that we think of as part of forecasting what we call scenarios. And the distinction is a scenario is an if-then statement. But as is the case right now with Omicron, we don't really know how severe the cases are going to be. And so the scenarios incorporate much more uncertainty. And it's an if-then in the sense of if the severity turns out to be this, which we think is plausible, then.
And finally, I guess this leads me to ask about timing. There have been comparisons drawn to weather forecasting, and we know with computers and modeling and data in that space, it has taken years, decades to get to where that field is now. What does the timeline look like here? I mean, if there is this wave or a next wave coming, say, in 2022, is that a reasonable timeline where your center might be able to say, we have found important signals that we can tell the public about?
Yeah, it's not all or nothing. I mean, weather forecasting in the past was not great. Now it's much better. In the same way, the transition from unreliable to reliable has been based on investment and improvements of the science and of the computation. In some ways, we are at a better place because we have better computational skills. On the other hand, the science of predicting epidemics is even harder than weather forecasting for the reasons we've talked about with behavior and uncertainty and the fact that we can't measure it as easily. We have a lot to do, but the thing to do is to start generating predictions now and make it better and better so that we can be of greater use. And many health departments around the country now and around the world have been using forecasting tools to make better decisions. It's just we are trying to supercharge that by putting it on a scale that's suitable for a world-class system.
Dr. Mark Lipsitch is Science Director at the CDC's new Center for Forecast and Outbreak Analytics. Dr. Lipsitch, thank you.
Thank you for having me.